This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Sohaimi. Now, the ringgit has been Asia's worst performer in the past year. Are you expecting any policy adjustments to stem the fall in the ringgit?
Well, I think the government and Bank Negara has made it clear that we are not going to reintroduce ringgit back and capital controls. At the same time, we also do not expect Bank Negara to raise interest rates to support the currencies. So the immediate move that we can expect is generally the intermittent intervention by the central bank in the foreign exchange market through the use of external reserve to manage the volatility of ringgit against US dollars and other major currencies. But I think there are also a couple of other policy options that the government can look at. And essentially, these policy options are the things that other countries and other central banks across the region have applied or have recently announced. For example, we may want to look into curbing speculative currency transactions or currency trade that are not backed by underlying economic activities. And I think this is something that Bank Indonesia has announced last week. And we also can look into some sort of review on the overseas investment by government-linked companies and government-linked funds to basically minimize the pressures on ringgit arising from investment outflows.
Right. But just going back to your expected use of external reserves, last week it fell to 94.5 billion ringgit. That's 7.5 months of retained imports and 1x short-term internal debt. So, Jaime, at what level would have you concerned?
I think we have to look back at where we came from as a result of the QE money that has resulted in massive inflows into emerging markets, including Malaysia. Back then, our external reserve, let's say in middle of 2009, at the bottom of the global financial crisis and just before US QE money start flowing into the emerging markets, our external reserve is around 85, 86 billion US dollars. So I think when you look at that, if external reserve were to fall back to around that level, I don't think it is a big concern. I think if it were to dip to less than $80 billion, maybe that is something to start be of concern to many. So what we are seeing now is essentially a lot of it got a lot to do with reversal of those money that came in as a result of the QE policies of US as they look around for better returns.
So, I mean, $80 billion you mentioned, is that a figure that we could be seeing sometime this year?
Given the pace, it is not entirely impossible, especially considering the turmoil in the global financial market that we are seeing at the moment.
Right. Okay. Well, if we were to leave politics aside for a minute, what worries you about Malaysia?
I guess the issue is the impact on confidence of investors, of consumers and businesses in the wake of the recent turmoil in the global financial market, in currencies and commodity prices. As it is, our current full-year growth forecast of 4.9%, we're already looking at a slowdown from 6% last year. Growth in the first half of this year was still respectable at 5.3%, but the full-year forecast means we are looking at a slowdown in growth. I guess the challenges and headwinds include the continued post-GST adjustment in domestic spending, at least in the third quarter, renewed pressures on commodity prices that is going to further dampen commodity exports, and the impact from this financial market and currency volatilities on consumer sentiment, investors' confidence, and business conditions. I think until we see stabilization in the markets, in currencies, in commodities, we have to be realistic and therefore be somewhat cautious about the outlook.
Are you what is your concern with the rest of the year? I mean, in terms of the slowdown in China and the expected Fed hike, what will that mean for Malaysia's growth?
As I mentioned, we are already factoring in slower growth this year and further slowing of growth in the second half of the year. I guess the big issues that we need to look at is what can we do domestically in terms of stabilizing the economy. Obviously, there's a lot of immediate issues that can be addressed in the case of businesses, especially SMEs. There are some grouses about the efficiency of the GST system, particularly in terms of the cash flow problem arising from the timing issue between GST filings and refunds on input tax claim. Although, to be fair, there are, for example, mistakes in GST filings that needs to be rectified by customs, causing the back and forth with businesses and hence delayed in refund. So I think there is a need to immediately address these issues. Obviously, consumers are feeling the pinch on living costs and purchasing power as GST impact is compounded by weaker ringgit. So the monitoring and actions over profiteering and excessive price hikes, I think, must be enforced under the Price Control and Anti-Profiteering Act. That was amended last year with new provisions to take into account of GST, because it seems to me things have quietened down of late on this front. But overall, I think what the key driver to growth right now amidst issues concerning consumer sentiment and consumer spending and export is essentially investment. And I think to some extent, key infrastructure projects and key investment projects should proceed without delay.
Right. All right, Suhaimi, thank you so much for that. That was Suhaimi Ilyas, Chief Economist at Maybank Investment Bank. And now we cross over to Chicago as Ibrahim speaks to Tim Holland, the Managing Partner at China America Capital Company.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.